Welcome to the Winchester Diocese Podcast. In this episode, we celebrate Vocation Sunday by speaking with our young vocations champions, Reverend Helen May and Reverend David Roberts. We're also joined by two young people who are currently in the vocations discernment process.
Hi, my name is Helen. I'm at Hartley Whitney.
And I'm David from Andover.
And we are the Young Vocations team for Winchester Diocese.
Yeah, we're here today because we thought it'd be fun to have a conversation about vocations because it's Vocation Sunday and particularly looking at young vocations. So we've got some special guests today. We've got Harvey.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Where are you from, Harvey?
I'm from Parish of Christchurch, Christchurch Priory area.
Nice. And we've got Martha as well.
Hello.
From
Lord Hill and Southampton.
Amazing.
And so we're going to spend some time hearing about their story as they discern what's next for them in the church. And David and I are going to share a little bit about our story and our calling and where we're at now. Great. David, do you want to talk to us a little bit about your calling and maybe then about your vocation now in Andover?
Yeah, it's cool to be here. It's great to talk about this subject because I think that throughout the Bible and in our Christian journey, we hear about how God calls people at all sorts of stages. And I'm particularly amazed by the story of the disciples who are like teenagers and they're working out what it means to follow Jesus and give themselves fully to that task. And they grow and they learn as they go. And I think that's definitely been my story. I grew up in a Christian family and went to church from a young age and was really involved. I just loved watching God change lives. And I loved the way that God, through the church, did some beautiful things. And I loved sort of growing in my own leadership with that and getting involved in all sorts of ways. And I think I was probably 14 or 15 when I first said to my vicar, I wonder if this might be something for me. And it felt like a really big step for me. It was something I was quite, I wasn't really confident about it. I wasn't sure in any way. But I got stuck in all sorts of different leadership within the church. And when I was 16, I met with the then Young Vocations Champion for the Diocese. And that began a journey for me that has led me to being ordained now for 4 years and loving it. And it feels like a way I can live as me that really makes sense. And it's been so fulfilling. And I'm really passionate about seeing that for other people as well. And enabling them to fulfill the call that God has for them, whether that's ordained ministry or lay ministry. How about you, Helen? What was your story?
Right. So, I also felt a call quite young. When I was about 11, I wanted to be a church leader. I knew that was something that God was calling me to, and I was very passionate about it and just really wanted to bring my faith and show people the passion and the love I had for God and bring that to the church. And then when I got to kind of 17, 18 and was choosing where I wanted to go to university, I started getting quite bad anxiety and really struggled with that. And I completely took that option off the table. I said to God, like, I can't even look after myself, so how am I going to look after your church? And so I went to art school and I kind of just did my own thing for quite a while. And did various different jobs. I still had a faith, I still was going to church, I was leading worship, but I'd kind of parked that call, I suppose. And then I started working for a church, and it was through that I was asked to lead worship for a women's vocation day. And I really limited my time down, and I said to God, like, I'm only going for an hour, I'm only going to do the worship at the beginning, like, you can't talk to me in that time. I remember sitting there listening to the first speaker just before the coffee break, which is when I was due to go home, and she just absolutely like unpacked all of the things that I had put up around myself. So the whole wall that I had built of all the reasons that I couldn't and kind of was stopping me from walking into that space. She just had a very similar story to me, and she just took all of those bricks down. I remember going home and just thinking, oh my goodness, like, this is still a really big thing, and I think this is the time now. And I said to God, I will push the door and I will keep walking through until it closes. And here I am, 3 years into ordination, or having been ordained, and the door still hasn't closed. So I continue to go And it's very much in God's strength. And I think every day I'm reminded that in my weakness, God is strong and that he equips us and uses us. And actually the things that I worried about have been some of my greatest strengths in leadership and in those things. And as you said, it's a learning curve all the way, isn't it? But just walking into that space that you know that God has called you to is just such a fulfilling and an amazing thing. And to be able to share your gifts and your passions and with other people in the church is wonderful. Yeah.
It's so powerful that you're living the story that your 11-year-old self had dreamed of. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think there's really something about vocation, about seeing people that look like you in that space. And it's hard when, especially as a young person, you constantly see people that are older than you, maybe not of the same gender, not of the same kind of lifestyle or whatever. And actually, I felt like it was very important for me to step into that space and to show people that actually, despite mental health issues, despite, you know, whatever it is that it looks like, that actually you can be a young person, you can be, and God is going to call you and use you. You don't have to look like, you know, an old white man that has, you know, got a comb over. Like actually, you can wear good clothes. You can wear good clothes. You can, you know, you can be yourself in that space. And God calls us all, however we look, however we are, in different roles and to different tasks and jobs in the church, doesn't he?
It's really interesting talking about young vocations, particularly in the light of some of the research that has just come out from the Bible Society. I don't know if you've heard of it, have you guys?
Yeah.
And it talks particularly about Gen Z. And I wonder if Harvey, do you want to, what's Gen Z for people that might not know?
Yeah, so I think Gen Z ranges so from people born from 1997, I think, until 2013. If I've got that wrong, you can Google it and you can check there. But yeah, so it's quite a broad age range, really. So I'm 24, born in 2000, but it's ranging to what people who would be, about 12, 13 now-ish? Sure. So it's quite a broad age range, encapsulating quite a lot of people. But with studies like this, we can see there's quite a lot of trends coming up from it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Bible Society published this thing called The Quiet Revival, and it's very interesting that it says that there was a survey in 2018 that had just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds going to church, at least monthly. But today that's risen right up to 16%, particularly among young men, which is really interesting. That's gone from just 4% to 21%, and young women from 3 to 12. So it's amazing, isn't it? Is that stuff that you're seeing, Martha, from your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think someone described it to me once as it being like fresh snow, where there's this whole generation that never grew up with this knowledge or information about Christianity or the church or the Bible. Like, they don't even know Bible stories, and it's almost like this fresh snow that has never been explored before. So now this generation are hearing about church, or they're seeing a church, or they might have someone come into their school and share a Bible story, and it's completely new to them. They've got no prior knowledge or prejudice already. So they're then like, this is incredible. Why has no one told me about this? And I think that is why we're seeing such an increase, because people just, our generation just don't know anything about it. And I think working with kids and youth, it's an incredible opportunity as well to be going into those schools and meeting with those new generations. To then talk about Jesus.
So good.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of stuff in the study which I think kind of highlights, if I say some of the things our generation are sometimes lacking, which churches are really good at feeding into. So like, there's quite a strong longing of spirituality among a lot of Gen Z, Gen Zs. And I think there's a lot of new like online content, so it's very easy to find answers to Bible stuff. If you want to dig deeper, you can now find podcasts, articles, YouTube videos. It's quite, I think there's been this shift of kind of knowledge that now it's much easier to find stuff to kind of help your faith.
And that's fascinating, isn't it, that it seems like we're in a generation which is hungry for meaning and hungry for authenticity, that you know, that Instagram is so fake and people are looking for something that's real, as something that they can belong to and find meaning and hope in. And it's amazing that that's something that the gospel offers.
Yeah.
Is that something you're seeing as well, Helen?
Yeah, and I think it's such a great flip from like generations before who have kind of almost gone in a bit insular and been like, if I can't find it in myself, I don't want to know it. Yeah. And it's almost like the next generation, the new generation are like, actually, I want to look outside of myself and see what there is. And just that thirst for knowledge is really exciting, isn't it? And it feels great then as people like working within the church that we can just, all we need to do is just be there and like give the information, don't we? And it's really exciting as a creative to think about all the different ways we can be doing that. And looking at, okay, the church has done things a certain way for ages and there's still amazing, you know, goodness in all that tradition. And actually one of the biggest growth is in the Catholic Church, isn't it? And that's, you know, heavily in tradition, but actually how we can also be being creative and getting outside of our church buildings and really kind of the fresh expression stuff and all of that, building on that work.
I find it very interesting that it was, I think it was the Catholic Church, was it Pentecostal Church, were like the two biggest growing ones, which in some ways are very kind of, say, opposite ends of a spectrum. Yeah. You've got very, very traditional and very, very spirit-filled and free-flowing. And so it's kind of that thing where it's hard to, say, underpin what is causing all the growth because it's so different. So I find that very interesting that it's, I think it's one of those where it's a lot of different factors coming together rather than just one thing.
And I think one of the strengths of the Church of England is that it goes across the whole breadth, doesn't it? You know, we have like very modern worship, very kind of new, like one end, and then also kind of growing through tradition right into the kind of more Anglo-Catholic tradition. So what's exciting is that in theory we should be able to capture all of it, shouldn't we? You know, we offer something for everyone that is searching. It's just making sure that people know that we're there.
So it's, I mean, it's encouraging to see young people coming to church again and rediscovering that. What do you think it means for the church to kind of open the door to vocations for young people? I mean, what's your guys' experience been there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess been working for churches my whole adult life. So I do children's youth, I'm a children's youth minister at Christchurch Priory. But before that, I've been kind of in different levels of children's youth work training. Previously with Baptist Church, but kind of did a degree, got a place at the Priory, and then I've kind of stuck there. So I found it quite interesting because I think growing up, it was often seen that if you feel like you've got a calling to church, you'd kind of get put in the youth group area. And I think it's kind of more recently, maybe the transition from actually, if I say children's youth work is its own vocation and being called to wider ministry, priesthood, local lay ministry is another vocation. And so I think there's kind of that aspect of it where I think when I was younger, it was kind of, oh, you want to do church work. Well, you're going to do children's youth work, whereas I think it's now kind of more open to kind of being in different areas of leadership, I think.
Yeah, and I think the church is, I mean, it's really realising the need for lots of different vocations. So we're obviously ordained in the church, David and I, but, you know, the need for eco kind of warriors, the need for creative stuff, the need for social media input, you know, to put all this information out there and people to use their passions and what they're good at for the church. And so it's not necessarily being that vocations always have to be ordained and to wear a collar, but actually that you can work for the church and have meaning beyond being a youth worker or a collar, which is really great. Martha, what's your experience?
I think for me, when you shared your story, Helen, you touched on how there aren't many people that are like you to look up to. And I think as we see Gen Z growing into coming into church and that sort of stuff, to then see other people who are their age, their peers, leading them and getting alongside them and discipling them and journeying with them, shows them that it is a normal thing. It's not something that's dying out. It isn't something that's being left in the past and it's going to just drop off at some point. It's still fresh. It's still new. It's still going. The gospel is a living, breathing word. And I think we then need to show that throughout how we serve in the church. And I think in Southampton, we're closely connected with St Mary's Church, and they have seen a huge growth in the young adults and students. And I think it does help that there are young ordinands in the church, that there are people who are of their age who are like, you're normal, like, you live the same life as me, and you're a Christian, and you look fulfilled, and you've got an identity. I don't have that. How can I get that? And I think that's incredible that people can see that, and we have that opportunity as well to get alongside people and provide that. So I think it is such an exciting time.
That's such a good point as well, that actually this is a normal thing that God has always been doing. And it's sad when you look around church, and often the leadership is often very old. And there's, of course, there's great benefits of that. There's extreme wisdom that the younger generation need to hear. But it's also like, it's normal for young people to hear God speaking and to think, oh, that could be me.
Yeah.
And I think it feels like it's still almost pioneering to be younger in this sphere. But it's not. Like, the work of God has always been to call people of all ages. And I think it's really important that we learn how to steward that kind of that move of the Spirit that we're seeing now, to kind of reawaken that younger voice, which feels like it's been dormant for a little while. It's interesting how we go about doing that.
And we talked about it a bit, but you know, it's breaking down the barriers of like, you have to be perfect and holy to be able to be in this space. And actually, we're all human. We're all like, we're on a journey, aren't we? We're all working towards trying to be better and trying to follow Jesus more closely. But actually, we all mess up, and we're all you know, falling short of that all the time. And actually, I think people being real and in leadership and showing that is such a authentic thing, isn't it? And that people want to see authenticism in the church. Martha, do you want to share a bit about your story? How you got to this point?
I think similarly to what you guys said, I grew up in church and have felt from a young age that God has called me into working in the church, working with people. I remember going through my GCSEs, everyone picking, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a teacher, I'm going to be these GCSEs. And I'm like, I have no idea, but I love going to church and I think that's where I want to be for the rest of my life. And then going through that and getting to A-levels and people being like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and be a vet or a marine biologist and I'm going to go to university. And me being like, I don't want to do that. I want to go and work in the church and I want to work with people and serve people. And I think God is calling me to church leadership, and I have no idea what that means as a 17, 18-year-old. Especially growing up in the Baptist church, I didn't necessarily know what that meant for me. It's not spoken about, and how you then progress, this not progress or but how you become part of any of that. And then when I was at 17, my mum went into training to be a Baptist minister, and I was doing my A-levels, and every week she'd come home from training and she'd tell me what she was doing, and I was so jealous. I was like, I want to be learning this, I want to be there doing this. And I was like, why am I jealous of this? If I said this to any of my other friends, they'd think I'm nuts, that I'm jealous of someone learning about the Bible and doing theology. But I still ignored. I decided to ignore God and go my own way. And I went to university and did advertising and marketing because it was the easier thing to do, to follow everyone else, go to university. And then I did a year and my world broke apart and my mental health wasn't great. And I had a bit of a breakdown and went home, and my mum basically looked after me for about 6 months. And she said, what do you really want to do? And she basically dragged me out of the house, and I went to Spring Harvest and volunteered at kids' stuff, and was like, no, I do want to be here with people, sharing about Jesus, and learning from them as well. Like, seeing kids like prophesy and have pictures from God and then share it with a leader, and the leader stopped crying because it was so apt and perfect for their life. And it's like, God can speak through any of us, and I want to work with all ages. And I'd done youth work before and had a lot of experience in that, so I went into youth work, and because that was how I knew I could, where I knew I could go with it. And then started speaking to people and was like, oh yeah, I do want to go to church leadership, and kind of looking at different options of what that means, what options there are, and then feeling like ordained ministry is where I feel God has called me to. But it's a whole journey. I'm definitely, like we were saying before, none of us are perfect. I don't think I'm fully there yet to be like, I'm going to be the best vicar in the world. I'm going to shepherd all these people and they're going to have a great faith. No, I think it's a learning journey, isn't it? And I'm excited to see where that goes. I think it's an exciting process to be a part of.
Definitely. And the journey is so much part of it. It sort of forms you. And actually, you know, you might, I mean, both of us have said it, like, we turned away from God and we did our own thing, but actually God uses all of that.
Exactly.
And you think you're doing your own thing, but God's like, yeah, no, I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he uses all of that, and your story, you know, as you share it, you know, will is just going to inspire other people, and it's really exciting.
Yeah,
such a cool story of the way that God's been speaking over many years.
Mm.
What would you say, Martha, to people who might be like early teens listening to your story and thinking that sounds like their story too?
Yeah, I think talk to someone you trust. Mm. I think if you feel that, then speak to someone about it, because other people might see that in you.
Mm.
And I think other people saw that in me but never told me that I had those qualities or gifts. And that then never encouraged me to take a step and go forward, or to ask for help or support or anything like that. So I think if you can take that step, speak to someone you trust, whether that is your vicar or church leader or a youth worker or a kids worker or a friend or your parent. For me, it was my mum. If I'd never had those conversations, then I wouldn't be where I was, and I didn't grow up necessarily having a youth worker that was supportive. So, I didn't have a youth worker. Not that there wasn't that was supportive, I just didn't have one. So do it. Speak to someone, but also pray about it. Speak to God.
Mm-hmm.
He knows your heart. He knows what's going on inside, and he can give you comfort in that. Even when you feel like, I don't know, am I going crazy thinking any of this stuff? Why would you choose me? Or anything like that. God is there to comfort you and guide you in that.
And so, Harvey, we've talked a lot about vocation. Where are you at in the process?
So I've basically just started the official process. So I've had one meeting with my local vocations advisor, or LVA. So there's someone who I think meet about once a month to kind of talk through like where we are in the process. So they very much help us put the words together of what we're actually thinking.
Yeah.
So after this step, there's going to be a few interviews. So it's just kind of helping me know what I'm going to say in the interviews, what questions might come up, just so I kind of, I guess, know what I'm getting myself in for in that sense, but also know what I want to get myself in for. So kind of like both sides of it. So there's a lot of that. Been doing a bit of reading around it as well. Luckily, my church has had an ordinand recently who's just become a curate, and so they've given me a stack of books. Not everyone will have to give me stacks of books. There are podcasts and other things available, but they know me very well and know I like reading, so they kindly pass those on. Can't remember the title of it off the top of my head, though, unfortunately.
That's okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Great, thank you. And Martha, you're a little bit further along.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm currently in a discernment year, so that's a year that you do before you go forward with training or anything, where you chat with local advisors and with people within the diocese to talk through your journey and to decide whether this is the right thing that you're going to do, and to see if they kind of see the same stuff in you and they feel like God has called you. So I'm currently doing that. There are two stages to it. I've finished stage one and I'm going forward to stage two. And stage two is a residential interview. It's an overnight where they watch you for 48 hours. Eat, sleep, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've survived it.
So that's exciting. That's the next stage. And then from that, they say whether I can go forward for training or not, which is really exciting. So looking at studying at St. Miletus and having an interview with them soon to talk about studying there. So it's all exciting stuff that's happening. Yeah. But I'm the opposite to Harvey. I don't like reading. So I have been given books, but find a way to listen to them or watch YouTube videos, or I love chatting with other people who, like, just like this, chatting with people that have been through this journey and asking them the questions and hearing their personal journeys. I think that's how I've learned a lot during this.
That's cool. And I like that. I mean, it's so funny, isn't it? It's like peak Church England, but there's like a lengthy process that takes about a million years. But I love that it's called the discernment process, because this is not like an interview, will you get it, will you not get it? It's like, what is it that God's saying?
Yeah.
How does that resonate with my own sense of identity and vocation, and how is it that, what does the church think? This is a, something we do together, and it's not like pass or fail, or you get old end, what you know. It's like, how are the gifts that God's given best held within the church?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. I think it's a funny process, because it does take quite a long time, but it's such a gift that you get that time and space to invest in who God is and who we are, like what and the relationship between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a lot of other jobs, you wouldn't have that process, kind of, you apply for it, you either get it or not. Whereas this is kind of like very much trying to prepare you for the interviews and stuff, which I really enjoy. And it also, so because I came to Church of England a bit later in life, I say later in life, I'm still quite young, but I came to Church of England probably when I was in my 20s. And so it, for a lot of my life, I've been trying to kind of go, what is the Church of England and what is kind of Baptist, which is what I grew up in, and kind of what's the difference, what's the same. A lot of it is very similar, but I kind of needed the time to go through that. And I very much enjoyed having a local vocations advisor, because it means I can ask him those questions of kind of things that I think are very different, but are actually just different names for the same thing. But yeah.
It's been really great to hear some of your stories, and it's very exciting for David and I. We're kind of right at the beginning of this journey as young vocations advisors, I suppose, or your young vocations champions. Sorry, get the title right. we had our first kind of drinks evening, which was really lovely. Met lots of people and shared some stories, and we're working towards some more events. We're looking at hosting some book clubs to come together, and just also different ways of kind of building and creating community within the Young Vocations Network. We've got a WhatsApp group, which is very exciting, and various different things going on. So if you've listened to this podcast and you're thinking, these stories sound like a bit of me and I want to find out more, you can get in touch with David or I, our information, or someone at the diocese. So Angie Nutt is the Diocesan Director of Ordinance at DDO. She would be a great person to talk to. And they can talk to you, we can talk to you about what's next and where to go and how to get more information.
Yeah, I think it's really important to know that when you're exploring this journey, you're not on your own and you're not the first, and you're part of a great cloud of witnesses, some of whom are under 30, who would love to go on this adventure with you. So thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great.
Happy Vocation Sunday.
Yeah. <Woo-hoo! laughs>
Thank you for listening to the Diocese of Winchester podcast. These talks and reflections are designed to encourage and support our parishes and communities. To hear more, go to our website at winchester.anglican.org.